We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Sal is going to join us on this victorious Bills Football Monday, and he is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Good morning, Mr. Capaccio. Happy Monday.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
Good. Yeah. So do you just cut and paste the Josh Allen portion in your arrow up, arrow down column now? Or you just, right?
It's pretty amazing. Like he shows up every week. Usually, though, sometimes, and it almost happened this week, I debated. Sometimes I'll have something about Josh. And it actually did happen this week, actually. I'll usually have Josh in the arrow up and then something about Josh in the arrow down, which I did again this week because of the penalty. But usually it's because of a play, wildness, or, you know, just not playing hero ball. And I only did a little bit of that, but really more of it was the penalty is what showed up on this one.
So with regard to that, you know, what would you even say about him in those moments? And by the way, anyone just tuning in, we're not like criticizing Allen's game and saying he played terrible. I mean, of course, he gets a late touchdown. He's been great. But in those moments, and we saw it in Houston, and I think fans might have been reminded a little bit, frantic? Like, how would you describe it, and what do you think it is that happens in those moments when he starts to get a little bit – on the broadcast, they talk about, like, his timing. Everything kind of speeds up for him. Like, maybe he's a little bit – I don't know, frantic might be not be the right word. Speeding up might not be the right word. What would you use?
I would use, I don't know if things speed up for him. I think he feels a pressure to have to make a play. We've talked about this a lot, right? I think that he sees what's going on. He feels the avalanche, right? In those moments, it was happening in Houston last year. Things started to go awry. Things started to go against the team overall. It happened yesterday. He starts to me to feel like I need to make a play for my team. That's my job. I'm the leader here. I'm the guy who has to bail my team out. And I think that's so things in his head start to say, I have to make a decision and take a chance I normally wouldn't. That's what I think it is. So, and sure, I think when that starts happening, there's an internal clock maybe that starts to go a little bit different. You don't feel as relaxed and you kind of speed up a little bit. It's probably natural in a lot of settings, but I think with Josh, it seems like it's even more so with most people, right? Where he's such a competitor, he's such a leader that he feels the pressure to have to make the play when other things are breaking down. And I think that's what gets him in trouble ultimately. And it basically did, but not to the level we've seen before in this game here, obviously.
Yeah. It ends up being a heck of a watch. You know, like, whether it's, you know, the face mask play, the third and 22, the touchdown pass to Croft, it's just, I don't know. I guess people used to say the Michael Vick experience. We're starting to get the Josh Allen experience, and it's provided a lot more highs than lows this year. 10 touchdown passes through three games.
And 12 total touchdowns. It's pretty amazing what he's doing. I'm actually still mad right now that his one interception shouldn't have been an interception. Like, I'm actually mad that the stat line that you see for Josh Allen overall, like when the national media goes, look at this stat line, da-da-da-da, and one pick. And I'm like, but that's not a pick. That wasn't a pick. But anyway, hey, he's thrown the ball in harm's way a few times so this year. So, you know, he finally does have an interception. But you're right, guys. I mean, the numbers he's putting up are pretty historic for the Buffalo Bills for recent NFL. We saw the stat last week with Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes after two games. Here after three games, over 1,000 yards. I saw one last night. And again, I know the game has completely changed and whatever. So I'm not calling him Jim Kelly or anything like that, but it is actually very similar to Kelly's 91 3-0 start. They have a very similar number of yards passing. They both have exactly 10 touchdowns. The difference is Josh actually has also run for like 80-something yards, and Kelly ran for 1 yard through those three games. But anyway, that's a big difference. Well, but it's pretty historic.
And one way to do it, you know, is compare to the peers in those moments and at that time. Like, Kelly was one of the best at that time, and right now Josh Allen's one of the best at this time. You know, comparing him to the rest of the league, he's doing it. The Bills are second in the league in passing yards.
It's pretty amazing. I'll have something written this morning, and I don't want to spoil it too much, but it's reminding me of I'll spoil it here, but I'll say it again. I'm going to go over it again on my extra points. I'm actually writing it before I was writing it a little bit before I went on. But you know what it reminded me of? I sat back last night, and I'll talk about this in the extra point show, guys, when I get there. But I sat back last night, and it reminded me of the movie Gladiator. Are you not entertained? Is this not what you wanted, right? I mean, this is what we all wanted. We wanted to be entertained like this, and for good reason. And it's happening. And it's at the expense now, obviously, and the reason is because he says that to the crowd in the Gladiator, because here's this death and destruction, but this is what you all came for to see. We all have been clamoring for this. We've been clamoring for this high tempo, or this, high octane offense to basically score a lot of points and say, who cares if the defense gives up 20-something? But you know what, guys? I think we're realizing along with that, because we haven't had it, is, boy, like, it makes you think, okay, now we have to figure out the defense because we don't want to live like this all the time.
Well, they played a really good offense too. Yeah, no, you're right. The script has completely flipped around here, and I think we're all still kind of getting used to it. What comes with it, but I can't. I mean, Sal, can you talk also? I mean, Josh Allen is the big story. You know, if you're on Twitter yesterday, you're already seeing like national media people talking about early season MVP candidate and all that stuff. But Brian Daboll and what he's been able to do with this offense, what he continues to do, if you could just talk a little bit about his job, not just working with Josh, but the game plans he's put together, the variety of ways he's come up with to beat other teams, to scheme guys, seemingly multiple guys are now open. 2 years ago, people would watch the All 22 and call us up and go, guys, you can't fault the quarterback. Nobody's getting open. Now it seems like everybody's getting open, and I'm guessing that goes to the offensive coordinator who's designing all of this.
Yeah, I think it is. Obviously, Brian Daboll has done a great job. And, you know, if you watch that Peyton Manning thing that I talked about.
Yeah,
and,
I did.
And, you know,
yep.
It's amazing, you know, how he shows the concepts that they're running. Mm-hmm. And he's really done an amazing job with Josh Allen and with the offense. I think it's twofold, the job that he's done. Number one is this year, if you want to talk about in the immediate, it's the offense and running these concepts and switching the personnel up to, you know, fit what Josh likes, fits what Josh does well, and fit his personnel. And know that this is how you have to win in 2020. You have to win like this in 2020. And I think we've all kind of understood that and realized that. And even the Bills have alluded to that over the last couple of offseason press conferences and things like that. But then the other thing is, guys, and I think this is what's ultimately going to land Brian Daboll a head coaching job in the NFL, is what he's done with Josh Allen specifically. From Josh has had one offensive coordinator since he's been in the league. It's Brian Daboll. And to go from where he was in 2018 to 2019 to 2020, and that growth and development, when you look at Sam Darnold of the Jets and you look at Baker Mayfield of the Browns, the two quarterbacks, and I don't know what Mayfield's numbers were yesterday, whatever, but you understand my point here, that these are the quarterbacks taken before him. And for Josh to be where he was, and then, oh, am I still with you guys? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you're fine.
Okay, sorry about that. I have to just fix something here on my thing here. Okay, anyways, for Josh to be where he was and then to be where he is now basically is pretty amazing compared to the rest of, you know, how quarterbacks are normally developed and how these guys have not developed. And now I think that just speaks to Brian Daboll's coaching, his development, and why I think he's going to be a name that people are going to want. And I don't want to put the cart before the horse here and jump, but I think people are going to want to hire Brian Daboll to do that for their quarterback this offseason.
Yeah. And Sal, you mentioned Mayfield and Darnold. You know, with both those guys switching coordinators, getting switches at coach, like the Browns are 31st in passing yards. They've won two in a row. They beat Washington. But it's almost like with those guys, they've had to hit the reset button because something went wrong along the way with a coaching staff or a coaching change. And the Bills, what we're seeing is year three, and at no point did they ever have to say, okay, start over again because we got something wrong along the way. Granted, it might not have gone to plan. Like they planned on sitting him in year one, but the progression has been steady with the occasional huge jump, and that allows you to never have to hit reset and just keep opening things up to where here in year three, they just – we've talked about it a lot. I heard you guys talking about it on the roundtable, how much they trust him, how much they just – this is the guy. This is their quarterback. You used the phrase last week, franchise quarterback. There is complete trust and belief in him and their passing game as a whole.
100%. That's what it is. I think that's the word, trust, right? It's a Brian Daboll has told us, since, you know, going back to last season, I remember, I trust Josh. I trust Josh. And, you know, you could say that about your quarterback. We've probably heard coaches and coordinators say that about their quarterbacks over the years here in Buffalo, but I don't think they really did, you know, and I think their skepticism has to come along with that when you hear that. But now you see it's showing up. He truly trusts Josh. He puts the ball in his hands in the most critical moments and plays. I mean, even something as simple as three straight runs down in the, you know, 5 yard line, when we all kind of had this debate a couple weeks ago about, is he running too much? But that's what it called for. He called for that particular play. That's what they had obviously game planned for all week and said, when we're in this situation, this is what we're going to do. He trusts Josh Allen to have the ball in his hands in the most critical plays in the game. They have probably 2-3 plays to get to try and win the game, maybe 4, depending on if they run or whatever, they could stop it. What do they do on first down? They ask Josh Allen to throw the ball. They're not saying, hey, let's not make a mistake here. We have 4 downs, right? We can use our timeout. We can run Devin Singletary, use our timeout. We can even run Josh. They put the ball in their quarterback's hands to throw it into the end zone in that situation. And I just think that speaks volumes of where this offense is, and especially where the trust is from the head coach to the coordinator to the quarterback.
We were talking earlier too, Sal, in this whole point. I know last week we brought up the idea they take the lead in Miami, and then that very next drive, they're still throwing the ball. They get the touchdown to John Brown, and Jeremy brought this up earlier. So it's 28-17, okay? They go up 28-3, it's 28-10, they have a turnover, it's 28-17, the interception that shouldn't have been an interception. And then the Bills get the ball with about 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. Now the Rams are coming back, right? They've shaved into that lead, and the Bills go 3 and out. It's pass, pass, pass. I mean, there were 3 pass plays called: incomplete pass, completion, sack. And you might, and it never even dawned on me to think and say, McDermott, what the hell are you doing? Run the ball. It's an 11-point game. You want to start killing the clock here. You got to try and, you know, shorten the game, blah, blah, blah. No, they have that mentality of trusting the quarterback, believing in the passing offense, and 28's not enough. Let's get more. Let's not bleed the clock and hope the defense shuts down L.A. Let's go and try and get more points. And that's not something we've lived in here for quite some time.
Right, but here's the other thing that when that happens, Howard, now we get into a spot where if they do that and they go 3 and out, how many people are calling your show today, or maybe even you're coming on saying, I can't believe they didn't do what got them there. I can't believe they didn't do what fits them best. Why did they slow it down?
Yeah.
Why did they do that? Because I think that's the trick. We debated this in on the broadcast, and we talked about it at halftime. Like, there's ways it was actually, as the game was starting to do that, I think Steve and I don't even know if it was on the air or off the air, but I know we had this conversation. Like, this is the point where you have to decide, like, do you want to do that? Do you want to start running the ball and bleed some clock? But, or do you want to do what kind of is your bread and butter and what got you to where you are,
yep,
which is throw the ball.
Yep.
And I think that whichever way you choose, if it goes wrong, you're going to get criticized. But I like this new way, which is, this is our philosophy, this is our belief, and we're going to put the ball in the hands of our franchise quarterback. And that's what they did against Miami. I think, and again, I wrote that article last week about him being a franchise quarterback, mainly after watching what happened in the fourth quarter at Miami when the Buffalo Bills said, hey, you know what? Even though things are really going against us and we're only down 3, we could hand the ball off and go down and kick a field goal and just win this game and get out of here. Nope, we're going to 2 drives in a row. We're gonna take shots, and we're gonna go down the field, and we're gonna score.
Yeah,
it's the transition we've talked about it a lot. It's not even aggressive versus conservative. It's just our best play is throwing the ball, so we're gonna use the best play, right? Because whenever they throw the ball, that's the identity of this offense. That's who they are. So yeah, we'll do the thing we do really well. Although we did mention, Sal, yesterday that we saw the first really great highlights from Devin Singletary. Been kind of a quiet performance in the first 2 weeks, and yesterday he was a big part of what they did offensively.
He was. And I think Devin Singletary has, and like you said, you just said, quiet first 2 weeks. People forget he averaged 5.5 or 5.6 last week per carry. 10 carries, 56 yards, right? And then this week he has another really nice performance. Devin Singletary, in the one in this one, though, guys, he is so good in the open field, it's unbelievable. I mean, he just makes guys missing tackles everywhere, and it just helps the offense gain extra yards they normally would not get. That's the thing I was impressed about Devin in this one. There were some nice runs, but really more than anything, it was he bailed them out of a couple situations where he was caught, and he got a first down, he got a long gain down the sidelines. It was a nice game for Devin Singletary. I think he's a nice piece to have to your offense. He's not a guy you're going to lean on for 25 carries a game. There's no doubt about that. But, hey, 71 yards receiving and another, 71 rushing and another 50 receiving. The guy had 121 total yards yesterday. Yeah.
Sal, what happened to the defense in the second half?
I think a few things, guys. I saw a stat, actually, and I don't know, and I have to go back and look, like, where this actually, like, fits in on each individual part, but I do think it matters. On opening day, opening weekend, the NFL has these, they send these stats out about every roster around the league, like, in general.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills are actually one of the lightest teams in the entire NFL, if you know that. They're actually one of the lightest. They have more guys under 200 pounds or something like that than any team. But statistically, they have one of the lighter teams. And I think that they were not physical enough or big enough to face a very big and physical Rams offensive line. I did look. The Rams offensive line is basically 300-plus across the board. And they just imposed their will, and they were more physical. And I think the Bills are a little bit undersized on the defensive side. Sure, they have, you know, some guys that got some, you know, Vernon Butler, Harrison Phillips, whatever. But they rotate a lot of guys. And most of their players are not like that. They don't have Star Lotulelei. And I think they missed Star yesterday. I think they missed some bulk. And those guys can help tie up a little bit. You know, what's the thing we say about Star when he's in there? He can help tie up linebackers to allow a guy like Tremaine Edmonds to do what he's got to do. Well, you know, Tremaine Edmonds struggled yesterday. I do think it was partly because of maybe the shoulder. Maybe he's not 100%. But, you know, that he's out there, he's playing, so he's got to make plays. You can't make that excuse. But I also think it's because he's not clean anymore, right? If guys are getting up on him and, you know, they can get a big physical lineman can get into him, I think that hurts him a little bit. And then, you know, I think that they're facing a really good offense, obviously, that's very, very well coached. Jared Goff is good. He's accurate. He's a lot better in a Sean McVay offense. I don't think he's a system quarterback, but he works perfectly with that coach in that system, right? I mean, he really accentuates his strengths. So, and then, I mean, they just have talent too. Give credit where credit's due to the Rams, but I do think the Bills were, I think it showed up yesterday, guys, that they're a little bit lighter, and they went against a really physical offensive line that ran right at them, and that showed up yesterday, and teams are going to take notice. You know who's going to really take notice? The New England Patriots.
Yep.
That's what the Patriots are doing right now. And I saw some of that Patriots game, and I looked at some of their stats. The Patriots are running right at you right now, and I think that's something, and I know they're down the road, but that's something I think how teams are going to try to attack the Bills going forward is physically trying to beat them up front because the Bills are a little bit lighter.
Well, you might get a good test of how you can fix that this week against the Raiders, because the Raiders are going to do that too.
They're going to try. Yeah, I mean, Richie Incognito's out. I know he's on IR. That's an important player for them. But you're right, Josh Jacobs, they'll feed him the ball. I think the key with the Raiders is, you know, get them down a little bit. Maybe they'll start throwing the ball and maybe you can take some opportunities. But you're right, Jeremy. And then you think about the next game after that, Derrick Henry. Right, and what the Titans like to do. And then you know that the Chiefs, you know, they've Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and we know they have Patrick Mahomes. But I think teams are going to test the Bills running the ball now, because I think they're going to feel that they have a physical edge against them due to their size. And what makes the Bills defense good a lot of times is their athleticism. But with that athleticism, you're sacrificing some size sometimes for the kind of players they want. So, you know, it's a chess match. Not every offense is going to be like the LA Rams, obviously, but I do believe that. I think that's what happened. And then once that starts happening, now you're like, okay, we got to commit an extra guy to the run. I mean, Dee Marlowe started playing yesterday. Dee Marlowe, I think, started the second half for Taron Johnson. To me, that's not a coincidence. That's because you need more size. You got to have more size and your slot spot. It's not because Taron Johnson was bad or anything like that, and I have to look to make sure, but I believe that that's what happened. So if you start committing more guys up front, guess what they're going to do? Okay, we'll just run play action, and we're going to get a couple guys running free. And I think all of it just started snowballing in that respect.
Sal, what will you be watching for tonight? Chiefs, Ravens. Bills fans will be scouting, right? These are the two that are on a tier that you want to get to.
Yeah, I think I want to – I'm not going to watch the two quarterbacks specifically. I want to watch how each defense defends them. You know, the Chiefs don't get enough credit for how good of a defense they had last year towards at the second half of the year. And I do think there's times where they can be leaky still and things like that, but they did a nice job. But the Ravens, you know, they have a good defense, and I want to see what they do against Mahomes. So, you know, we'll see. If one of the two teams can figure out a little way here to really slow down the other, I think I want to see how they exactly did that.
We will see you at 10 o'clock, Mr. Capaccio.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Sal. Sal is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Sal's arrow up, arrow down column is available at WGR550.com, and he will be here at 10 o'clock bringing you the Extra Point Show from 10 to noon.
Quick thing for you. So Chiefs-Ravens tonight is a big matchup, right? Like, wow, every NFL fan would want to see that game. And the Bills have a game that might be like that on their schedule. Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle-Buffalo week 9, which a number of people had started to ask, like, hey, could that game get flexed, right? The problem is it's Saints-Bucks in the Sunday night spot.
Hmm.
So are the Saints still relevant? I mean, are you going to want to watch Tom Brady against Drew Brees again?
Yeah, we saw him in week 1.
We did, but it was not a primetime
game.
It was a 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, you know, to get that one bumped out of there would be pretty tough to do. But, you know, Josh Allen and Russell Wilson.
What if the Saints keep going south? I mean,
that's
one
the thing
and two,
I think you should be rooting for. Yeah, if the Saints keep falling apart, maybe they pop that game out of there.
Yeah.
And you go Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. DK Metcalf fumble. How about that yesterday?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, just running to the end zone.
Yeah. He ended up getting the game-winning touchdown for them. So
what are the odds?
Redemption.
What are the chances the Seattle Bills matchup features the two quarterbacks with the most passing touchdowns in the league?
I think it's very...
Is Josh 2 right now behind Wilson? I should probably check that.
Yes.
Russell's got 14, and Josh has 10. I don't know if anybody else is between them. How about that, huh? Let's talk about living in rarefied air.
Yeah.
803-0550 to join us. We have phone lines open, Bills fans. We want to hear from you. You can't take Monday off. Let's talk about the crazy game yesterday. Go ahead.
I'm just looking at these the passing touchdowns. Yeah, Wilson 1. Allen 2, Rodgers 3. Okay, all right.
Not bad.
Cool, huh?
Yeah. Okay place to be in, right? So, yes, we'll take your calls. 803-0550. That's what we do. It is Bills Football Monday on WGR, and it is presented by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Snap to Goff in the shotgun. Looks downfield, looks left now, walks the other way.
Picked off.
His pass is intercepted. Picked off by Levi Wallace in the Buffalo 33, and he is stopped right there.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Looks over the Rams defense, puts Croft in motion, right side. Now the snap, rolls to his right, fires wide open, Tyler Croft, touchdown Buffalo. That's too easy, too easy. Josh Allen throws a touchdown pass, 3 yards long to Tyler Croft. Snap, Allen takes a look. Has a pocket, fires into the end zone. It is caught. Caught in the end zone for the touchdown. Stephon Diggs, touchdown, Buffalo.
Murph with the call yesterday. Our game highlights are brought to you by the Stam Law Firm. Let our family protect your family. Visit stamlaw.com. 35-32. Just another day at the ballpark there.
With a Lee Smith touchdown in there, too.
How about that? Lee Smith with his... Did someone tweet out the last time the Rams were here, Lee Smith had a touchdown, too?
Yes. Yes, I tweeted out the exact play-by-play of that call from his catch in 2012.
He owns the Rams at home.
Yeah.
Three TDs from tight ends yesterday. Four touchdown passes from Josh Allen, including the game winner with 15 seconds left. The Bills up 28-3, blew the lead. Thought they were Dan Quinn was coaching them, and then they came, or Matt Patricia.
20 points in the fourth quarter surrendered by Atlanta again.
Ooh, I have, you know what? Oh, I have so many stats to use today. I have a stat of the day on that. I'll get to that in a second. What else did I want to tell you? Oh, the Bills are 3-0. BetOnline.ag has them as a 2-point favorite for the game in Vegas Sunday. Let's see. What else do I want to tell you? New England's 2-1. They beat Vegas 36-20. The Patriots rushed for 250 yards. Pittsburgh's 3-0 after defeating Houston. Who made the Texans schedule, by the way? Did they have a – was there an axe to grind? Kansas City, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh in their first three games. They're 0-3. Tennessee's 3-0 beat Minnesota. Russell Wilson, five more touchdown passes. Seattle outscored Dallas. Green Bay knocked off New Orleans last night. It's KC at Baltimore tonight. We'll have that game here on WGR. Dallas and Tampa in game six of the Stanley Cup Finals. Lightning lead three games to two. That game will be over on ESPN 1520. The Heat eliminate the Celtics. It's a Heat-Lakers NBA Finals starting Wednesday. And Major League Baseball wildcard matchups are set. The Jays will be in Florida to take on Tampa, and the Yankees will go to Cleveland to take on the Indians. Those are your headlines. You want my Dan Quinn stat of the day for you, sir?
Sure.
Stat of the day, by the way, brought to you by Skyworks, the official equipment rental company of the Buffalo Bills. They blew a 16-point lead yesterday in the fourth quarter. The Atlanta Falcons have become the first team in NFL history to blow leads of at least 15 points in the fourth quarter twice in the same season. That's my stat of the day. I swear I thought I'd wake up this morning, come to work, go on Twitter, and go look for headlines and go, oh, the Falcons fired Dan Quinn. But he's still hired. He's still on the job for some reason. 0-3 and more blown leads.
You can go ahead and fire Doug Peterson while you're at it.
Ooh, they must be so unhappy in Philly.
Played to a tie.
Yeah,
there were
punted
five
in overtime.
Five punts in overtime.
In a 10-minute overtime?
A 10-minute overtime, there were five punts, including the Eagles punting with 18 seconds left.
Yeah.
So it's 4th and 7 for the Eagles at the Cincinnati 41. They line up to kick a field goal to win the game and get a false start. They're now at the Cincinnati 46 with 19 seconds left in the game, and they decide to take an intentional delay of game and punt deep.
For the old tie.
The old play for the tie.
Just do a Hail Mary.
Right.
Put your offense back on the field and tell Carson Wentz to throw it for the end zone.
Yeah, 19 seconds left. You could probably bleed a good 6 to 7 to 8 seconds off the clock
on
that play.
I assume then. So then he's worried that you put the Bengals in field goal range with, what, a couple
and
first downs?
It's worth mentioning, if you called a Hail Mary and had one guy go short, you could probably actually even get the 12 yards.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Playing for a tie. You're 0-2-1. Is Joe Burrow the first overall pick to get his first career tie before his first career win? I'm not sure, but that's my stat of the day.
I feel that's a pretty safe stat to use. there was something about him, too. I think maybe it was just the third rookie ever, I think, to pass for 300 yards in his first three games. He topped 300 yards, I think, in all three games. So, yeah, bad day. Bad day for Philadelphia. The NFC East continues to look pretty well. I mean, Dallas, two of Dallas's losses are on the road to Seattle and the Rams. So those are quality losses for the Cowboys. But the NFC East has only got two wins so far this season. What else was I going to? Oh, no, I'm going to save that. Right. Okay. So back to work. I have some good Josh Allen stats. We're going to do that in the next segment because we have eye on quarterback coming up. But real quick, what did you think of the DPI call?
I thought it was the right call.
I thought, here's the question I have on it. It was definitely illegal contact. He was still contacted.
Yeah, I mean,
he
like,
was still in contact with him.
Something should have been called. Instead of pass interference, it maybe should have been defensive holding or illegal contact.
I think you could have called
illegal
contact. And remember, that was a point of emphasis going into the season. They told everybody, we're going to crack down on illegal contact. So if you touch a guy after 5 yards, in theory, we're going to throw the flag. He was still contacting Davis. after 5 yards. Here's my only question. Is it illegal contact, or is Davis initiating the contact by running into, I forget which defender it was,
well, maybe
by running
he
into
is,
the defensive back?
Which would be smart.
Yeah, and I guess my point is, did Davis create the illegal contact by making him, by getting locked up, realizing, you know what, I'm just going to kind of stay here right now,
the
and they're going to throw the flag.
Clamps down on the stick that's
Correct.
Under his arm
Correct.
And draws the hook. Yeah.
Right, even though he was holding the guy's stick to draw the hook.
Yeah,
he
good
looked,
question.
He looked, I went back to watch it, Jeremy, it looked, I think Davis was trying to go inside on that route, and he was cut off by the DB. And then it's just, they're just kind of on each other till about the 5 yard line. And when the ball's thrown, you could see the DB go hands up in the air, like, I'm not touching him. So I don't know if that was legit or if Davis realized, I'm not getting free right now. So you know what? I'm going to sell this.
Well, also in that play is, hey, on the last play of the game when they're trying to come back, the Bills throw to Gabe Davis.
How about they target the rookie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They must have liked that matchup because they targeted him a bunch throughout the game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, going to Davis. I mean, Brown's not out there, and that's John Brown's route. So,
yeah,
you know, you're not going to Diggs, which might be showing some respect to Ramsey, even though you beat him on a touchdown earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, going to Gabe Davis.
But
and then for the touchdown, like the game-winning touchdown, you're going to Tyler Kroft.
But that is cool, though, for a couple things. One, that they trust the rookie. You're right. So it's John Brown's route. He's out. So, hey, kid, go run his route. Like a rookie to go out there and say, on that big play, go run that route. And it didn't work in terms of the route, but it drew the flag. And again, it goes to the depth of weapons. Tyler Kroft, right. I mean, the big play there, and you need a touchdown. And it's the guy who's getting more snaps than he normally would because Dawson Knox missed the game with a concussion. And Tyler Kroft gets 2 touchdowns and Lee Smith gets it. I mean, it wasn't the receivers yesterday. The touchdowns were coming from the tight ends yesterday.
By the way, I want to thank Liam who texted in a correction. We did our stat of the day. Can I submit this for stat of the year?
It depends.
Got a correction?
Okay, it's a football stat?
It's a football stat.
Okay, because I have a stat of the year nominee, but I'm not using it today. Go ahead.
Okay.
I don't want it to come out today.
Here it is.
Go ahead.
For the second consecutive year, the number one overall pick got a tie before a win. Kyler Murray tied Detroit.
Oh, he tried
the opener.
Detroit. That's right. Yeah.
2 straight years, the number one pick gets a tie.
That's funny. That's
sorry, I forgot last year. Thank you, Liam.
The Lions.
Here we are. Is it the only time it's ever happened? No, idiot. It happened last year,
that's
too.
That's funny. I remember watching the game, too. That's great. Thank you for pointing it out, Liam. Always trust the Lions to blow a game. Although yesterday they won a last-second result. All right, when we get back, Eye on the Quarterback, we'll talk more about Josh Allen's day yesterday. Mostly good. A couple little moments there where you might have been, yelling and screaming. 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550. Add a smile to your Buffalo Football Monday with WGR and Crosby's. Earn points and rewards every day with the new My Crosby's Rewards program. Stop in today and learn more from Crosby's.
Throw looks downfield. He's got Gabriel Davis wide open. He connects at the 26, and Davis heads out of bounds right there. Oh, a big play that was. He gets all the way to the 27-yard line.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
You know, if this had happened in his first season, probably would have been a little bit more just kind of playing ball. Whereas now, he clearly understands what coverage he's getting. He clearly understands the blitz situations. He's got a good set of weapons to work with that work with him, and they have great rapport during the week. And, you know, I just think it's, to me, an example of what happens every day in practice. It's on solid ground. It's not like this happens one time and it surprised any of us. Honestly, if you were in the locker room, I think if you asked anyone, they'd tell you doesn't surprise them. That's a good thing. It was a tough win, and it's a critical moment. And our guys play well in critical moments, and I think that's a good redeemable quality about our football team.
Bills coach Sean McDermott, some of his comments after the game yesterday. Talk a little bit more about the quarterback here. Eye on the Quarterback, brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. Peter Schrager tweeted out a stat that I swear I looked at and I thought, that can't be right. I'm going to add to it just a little bit. He's with NFL Network, by the way, Good Morning Football, and he tweeted out a stat about Josh Allen's last 14 games, just regular season. It doesn't include the Houston playoff game. But I'm going to go back to the Tennessee game, 15 games, because that is like a line of demarcation. He had the bad game against New England, the crazy throws, the turnovers. I got to be better. I mean, that was like a turning point game, right? So from Tennessee on, including the games this year, he's got 35 total touchdowns and 9 turnovers. If you throw in the lost fumbles, Schrager's stat was like 33 touchdowns and three interceptions, which is right. But if you throw in the lost fumbles, it jumps it up a little bit. And so and there was a pick in the Tennessee game. But that's, I'll take that. 14 games, 35 total touchdowns by my quarterback, and 9 turnovers. That's really impressive.
Yeah.
Really.
You know, a phrase we're hearing less and less of is the total touchdowns one. Because he's throwing for so many.
Right. Well, yeah, well, 27 of the 35 are passing touchdowns.
Yeah, 27 passing touchdowns
in 14 games.
14 games is
15.
Right, that's not territory we've lived
right
too often to begin with.
Right, 15. That's almost two a game, which is by this is much. It's a lot of progress for what we live with around here. That's great. Those are great numbers. And I think, to me, Jeremy, what really stands out, nobody's going to get upset about the fumbles lost or the 9 turnovers if you're going to give me 35 touchdowns out of the quarterback. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, were there a couple plays yesterday where he made me nervous? Sure. You know, and the interception that shouldn't have been an interception was probably a bad throw. Not probably. He really shouldn't have thrown that ball. And he was reckless a couple times holding out the ball. He got sacked and stripped once. But he threw for 4 touchdowns and ran for another. Nobody's going to complain about a couple of bad moments for the quarterback if I'm getting 5 touchdowns out of the quarterback position yesterday. You've made that point for years. Like, I know, takeaway, giveaway, everybody always talks about plus, minus, all this other stuff. Well, I mean, he had a couple turnovers yesterday, but he produced 5 touchdowns,
right,
and nobody's going to be freaking out.
My point on that has always been it's about failed drives versus successful drives. You know, an interception, like that interception's a great example of that. That interception that should not have counted did not have to hurt them. I don't think it needed to change momentum in the game. I mean, the Rams had scored a touchdown on the previous possession, right?
Right. It was 28-10, right.
So if you're going to make an argument about momentum, didn't they already get it? And if that's ruled an incomplete pass, or I'm sorry, a catch by Croft, it's offensive interference, going to be second and long. Maybe they convert. Maybe they punt. It still ends up being an interception that, you know, it's not inside their own 5. You have every opportunity to kind of shut that thing down. So successful drives. And what are the Bills doing now that they have not done at this level in a long time? Successful drives.
Right.
5 for 5 in the red zone. 5 touchdowns. 5 touchdowns in a game. I mean, when's the last time the Bills scored 5 touchdowns in a game that wasn't just against Miami? Because Josh generally tends to run it up against Miami. That counts too. But just 5 touchdowns against what I think is one of the league's good teams. A cross-conference game and 5 touchdowns. Like, way to put your name on the board, right? It's like a real team.
Yeah, he would have had, boy, I'm trying to think. He had 4 against, no, that's Miami. Yeah, no, there's nobody else he's ever had that many touchdowns against.
Can I blow your mind with a stat of the day update, stat of the year update?
It depends.
So, Joe Burrow gets a win before a tie, or a tie before a win, right?
Yeah.
Kyler Murray had a tie before a win.
Yeah.
Go back 3 years. Baker Mayfield, he didn't play in the game. But it is 3 straight years that the team that picked first overall got a tie before a win.
Browns Steelers. Yeah, you're right. That's
they
right.
broke their streak against against the Steelers.
Yeah.
Thanks to, I had an emailer and a texter write that in. So thanks to you guys for sending that in. Joe was the first one to send it to me. 3 years in a row, we've got a tie before a win for that team.
Crazy.
Ties are up in the league because of what they've done to overtime, shortening it to 10 minutes.
It goes so fast.
Yeah.
It really does. I mean, whatever game would it have been, I don't even know, Chargers, Chiefs maybe. You know, they start overtime, and you look up on the clock after one possession, and there's like 3 minutes left. It just goes so fast in overtime now.
I love ties, though.
Oh, you're just saying that. He doesn't really love ties.
Oh, no, I do.
No, you don't.
But listen, the Bills against the NFC, the NFC West, we think that might be the best division in football.
Yeah.
You get out of the NFC West at 2-2.
Yeah, no, I think it is the best, yeah. I
mean, Seattle is coming, Arizona.
The Rams are really good.
Trips to Arizona and San Francisco. San Francisco's a Monday nighter. We'll see how healthy they are at that point. I think it's a good, solid win.
Niners had 10 projected starters out of the lineup yesterday with injuries. 10.
Still won, huh?
I mean, they beat the Giants 36-9, but without Saquon Barkley, I'm not sure the Giants will win a game this season. The two New York teams could end up being 1-2 in the draft.
By the way, watch out for the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. Watch out for Miami. Just because they have Houston's first-round pick.
Houston.
You know, yeah, I don't know if Houston's going to finish at the bottom, but they are 0-3. So Miami might get a really good player there and might be able to, you know, depend on – the draft could not just be Trevor Lawrence. It could be Justin Fields, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who wants to get up there? Miami's not in a bad spot to have already drafted their quarterback and have another high pick coming up, you know.
803-0550 to join us. It is Bills Football Monday. We want to hear from you. Phone lines are open. We got an open segment coming up. Share your thoughts on everything you saw yesterday, going out to the lead, blowing the lead, the game-winning drive. We'll talk a little bit more about that and some of the big throws Josh hit. Bills Football Monday on WGR, presented by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.